I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Today, we have a couple literally half the way around the world on the western coast of India, Anjali and Gaurang. Welcome. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk to you. And that's the magic of social media, right? You think you know people. And I think we started following you on Instagram.
Actually, our daughter was the Amanda. One that sent us something. She follows you and she's like, Mom, Dad, you would love this couple. They're great. Their content is really good. And that you guys have a lot in common, really care about relationships. So that's how we started following you.
Yeah. It's great to have you on because we've got lots and lots of questions. So geographically, where exactly are you folks?
We are on the western side of India in the state of Gujarat. And the name of the city is Ahmedabad.
Ahmedabad. Oh, I'm glad you said it.
That's
not
where
me.
Our Prime Minister hails from. PM Modi hails from Ahmedabad.
Gotcha. And is it a big city or a small, or what's the size of the folks there, the number of population?
Yeah, it's around 50 lakhs, 5 million.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. So, and you two have been married for how long now?
It is almost going to be 32 years together.
Oh, my goodness.
32
That's
years.
So nice. That's so nice. And what really intrigued me personally was your story of how you got together. And I would love to hear, you know, a bit about your how you met, your marriage. And can you dive into that a little bit?
Sure. Before we explain the whole concept of our arranged marriage, let me tell you something about our culture, Indian culture, right? We have got something called multi-generational family here, which is very common, right? And another is there are families who are friends together, right?
Yes.
So let me explain this thing. Say when two families get together, elderly grandparents talk to grandparents of another family. Parents of this family chat with parents of that family. Children of this family play all together with children of another family. That is how, I mean, this is very typical to India.
And what essentially happens is that when we mingle as family friends, we tend to get an opportunity to get an insight into how the other family's dynamics are. So we understand what their values are, what their belief system is. And that way, you know, we can judge a family. And our matrimonial, like ours is an arranged marriage, which means we didn't know nothing about each other till we sort of got together, got engaged. So how it works is like... the elders in the families, you know, they take on the responsibility of being matchmakers. And they will be keenly observing the new youths who are now ready to get married. And they will talk to other families about some families they know of. Once the mm-hmm. families are approved, and the whole idea is the ideology of both families, if they are on the similar lines, chances are the offsprings mm-hmm. of both families also would have a similar characteristic and mm-hmm. a mindset, and the instances of conflicts would be minimal. So that's where the culture comes from.
Yeah.
So and how.
What's the like? It sounds bad, but this is coming from a divorce lawyer. You know, here in the United States, basically one out of every two marriages ends up in divorce, right? So the numbers are not terrific. So how do, you know, what are there any numbers in terms of success and failure in when it comes to these sort of arranged marriages in your country?
So even though I would say the success in India, if you see by the books, would be way beyond 80 to 90%. However, the truth is that not all marriages are harmonious and beautiful, because the females are generally not financially independent. Mm-hmm. And that is why, even though there could be a lot of rift and conflict and heartaches and situations, we tend to stick together for better or for worse. So that number is not something that you can depend on if you are talking in terms of how many happy marriages we have.
And I actually, as you're talking, like I think I shared this with you guys before when we first talked, I actually think the concept of having family members and elders helping to sort of, you know, pick out your partner is a great idea, because, you know, like I always say, mother knows best, right? Or father knows best, right? So I think that there's some, you know, sort of maturity and some ability to kind of step back and see what would be a good fit. So I actually am a big fan of arranged marriages. And I would love for you guys to dive into sort of how, so with you guys, you didn't know each other. And then how did it, you know, work out? What was the courtship like? And what, you know, how quickly did you get married and all those things?
So our courtship period was very small. We got engaged on 28th March 1993 and we got married on 23rd May 1993.
So less than 2 months.
had you met each other before you were engaged?
No.
Yeah, just once.
Once, I mean, for half an hour.
So when we were introduced to each other, we get an opportunity to talk to each other a bit. And that's a very awkward situation to be in, because you really don't know what to talk to each other. You're still strangers. But on the basis of that, you're going to judge whether you're going to be ready to live the entire life with the other person. So
during that, I'm sorry, during that 2 month or so period of time, are there planned times when the two of you got together to talk with or without family nearby between when you were engaged and when you got married?
Yeah, so we met on the weekends, and it was always for a very brief period of time. And like we said, it's just barely 2 months or less. So we got an opportunity to meet around
six, seven times.
So what did you guys think? Like, I want to hear, you know, separately, like, so what did you think when you, like, laid eyes on this person that you were going to be marrying?
I think I followed intuition, because when I saw Anjali, I took decision, this is the girl I want to get married.
Yes, because she's a beautiful lady. You were probably like, yes, they picked a good one. Yes. So, Anjali, what did you think?
Well, to be very honest, I did not even look at him because I was too shy. So if he would have met me the next day on the street, I wouldn't have known that I met this person yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
And you said something to us, and to sort of follow up with Julie in terms of how things worked out. Anjali, you said to us that here in the United States, love comes first and then marriage, whereas for you, it was marriage and then love followed it. So tell us a little bit about that. You know, what was that period of time? What did it look like? And then was there like a light bulb that went on at some point? And you said, you two said to yourselves, I love this person.
Very honestly, our system works primarily on commitments, because we believe that a commitment to each other can help us sustain through all the hardships of our life. Mm. So we can get angry at each other, we can fall in love with each other, and we can also fall out of love with each other, right? But if we are committed to each other, we can see through things and we can, you know, jump back on the wagon. So that is where we came from. And we also have our vows where, you know, we believe till death does us part, right?
Yes.
So we are committed to live together. So the only way forward, since we started with a slate, clean slate, you know, we knew mm-hmm. nothing about each other. The entire journey is about, discovering the other person, knowing the other person, understanding, adapting with that person or adjusting to that person. That's how we are mentally prepared.
But was there a moment, maybe there wasn't, was there a moment when you felt something, and like you said, the marriage came first and the love developed over time. But I'm wondering, and there may not have been, it might have just been over time that this just, it just sort of grows. But was there a moment for either of you? It sounds like you, Garang, that it was kind of when you first saw her, she was so lovely. But was there a moment that each of you said, we have these vows that we made and so forth, but I really have this sort of intangible feeling, this love feeling for this person.
So I can talk about two qualities about Garang, the qualities that I fell in love with, not Garang. Okay. And the two qualities were, he was very honest because he hailed from a family which was not doing very well economically. He lost his father very early in life and they were struggling financially. And he said, you must check out my background because if I were you, I would not marry me. So that honesty and transparency, mm-hmm. I instantly fell for. And I knew I could depend on this person and I could trust this person. So that was the seed that I started with. And then I can talk about the miscarriages I had before I had my two children. Yeah. And I saw that every time I was in pain, even though he is not a very verbal person, he doesn't vocalize things, but I could see and sense the pain that I had reflect in his eyes too. And that is when I knew I had a partner for life and I was fortunate.
Very, very neat.
Yeah, that is neat. So I would love to just talk about, you guys tackle a lot of different topics, on your Instagram page, and you're such great role models for relationships. Can you guys just talk briefly, if you're comfortable with, how you dealt with the losses? You had two miscarriages, and that can really affect a relationship. I mean, it can tear people apart when you have, such difficult loss and grief. Can you say how you supported each other or what did that look like?
Yes, it was very difficult on our part because when we got married in the year 1993 and our son was born in the year 1996. So in between, we had three miscarriages. And coincidentally, everything was happening on 26th January. That's the Republic Day for India. But I don't know how come, but whenever 26 January was coming and we were scared, when Anjali was carrying our son Tanay, and when 26 January came, and we were so terrified.
Yeah.
But I think these pains that we suffered together were the real reason we got together. We connected so well because we shared the same pain. In fact, I believe our pain actually brought us closer to each other because we wanted to support each other so much.
Yeah.
And we wanted to tell the other person, I'm here with you no matter what. And I believe had those miscarriages not happened, maybe we would not have been so close-knit before our children came in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And we've written two books. The second book is called Secrets of Strong Couples, and it's interviews with people that have gone through really difficult things. And we always, what came out of that book is no one chooses to have these things happen, but everybody would agree that they're stronger together when you go through hardships. So it sounds like you're on board with the thinking about that.
Yeah, I always mention that
when two army veterans who have been in a battle together and they have been in a life or death situation together, and when they come back alive from there, they will be inseparable and most dependable friends forever because they have suffered, you know, a trauma together and they have survived through it. And I believe all these things actually add up and build strength.
Yeah. I mean, marriage is, in a way, it's a good metaphor. Marriage is for, you know, it's like a never ending foxhole. You're in a, you know, we've been married for 38 years and been together. Now, we had a much longer engagement. We were engaged for three years, something like that. But I mean, one of the things that's interesting to me, and I want to ask you this, Garang, is you, and again, I look at all your posts, so forgive me if I'm asking you something that I'm not exactly sure when this came up, but you put something up about that basically the theme was, you don't need to talk. We don't need to talk. Stop talking, or something along those lines. And I think what I got from that was that there was a way to communicate, and you didn't necessarily have to be talking in the moment. So you're not as verbal. She is. How do you work through those sort of differences in approach to things?
Yeah, I generally speak less. That's true. That is how I am. But even nonverbal gestures, I think we are very conversant with each other for that. Just holding hands and cuddling, I mean that speak a lot than any verbal words. That is how I always believe.
So at times in situations, you don't have to verbalize everything, I mean, all your feelings. But just on the bottom line, if you express that, I don't agree with you, but I'm with you, that's enough.
Yeah.
And how do you handle, you know, we all have those sort of difficult moments, those difficult discussions during the course of a marriage. How do you handle those types of things when you know that what you need or want to talk about might be something the other feels differently about or could be difficult to speak about?
Very true. I mean, let me confess, I always avoided difficult conversations in initial years. I avoided for 2 decades. Right?
2 decades. So,
but I'm so proud of Anjali that she always continued persistently and bringing in those discussions, and then slowly I opened up. I mean, credit goes to her. She gave me that space. She gave me all these clues. How can I express myself? Yeah. Right? And that was so important. I mean, I believe that was a turning point.
When we
see our pictures when we got married and where we are today, I think the reflection is from what we are inside. How I changed over a period of time from within.
Yeah. Well,
so
Anjali,
as a child, he was generally judged a lot or corrected a lot, which is what led to his being quiet. You know, he didn't want to open his mouth. And that is where, you know, the confusions happened because he had certain needs, but he would not speak up. And he had certain different opinion, but he found it difficult to speak up.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you, Anjali, created a safe place for him to be able to do that. And that's what in my opinion, a good relationship is really about, is when you have a safe place and you feel comfortable, you feel secure enough to be able to say hard things. And sometimes people get into rocky situations or situations where they're conflict avoidant because of their childhood or trauma or whatever. And it's really hard for some people to get there, right? To get to that place of feeling comfortable. But that's really what a good marriage is all about.
We have this little trick that we use that really is, and I have to sit down and breathe when she says it. You know, when one of us wants to talk about something that we know is going to be difficult, we say safe talk. And then each of us knows we can't take it. You're not going to be defensive. You're not going to holler. You're not going to listen. And then certainly can give your own views and so forth. Julie tends to call safe talk more than I do.
Yeah,
it sort of sets the table for a conversation that might otherwise, in a different circumstance, be not pleasant.
Yeah.
And we see a lot, and again, you only see what you see on social media, but we see a lot of connection between the two of you, and I think that's one of the things that people see when they look at you online. Now, I do want to ask you about the multi-generational living aspect of your life. You have other folks that live with you, right? Tell
Both
us a little
parents,
bit about that.
Live with us and Amazing. Our grown-up children too. So
how does that work? I mean, is there always meals together? Do each of you have separate places that you can go and spend together? Or is everyone sort of, you know, on top of each other all the time?
We generally prefer spending time together, whatever extent is possible, by taking lunch together, taking dinner together, just talking every day, because we always believe that family is the first unit and that should be very strongly built. If parents are staying together with us and our children are also with us and daughter-in-law was also with us for around 1.5 years, she is an American girl married to our son. So when we are all staying together, we are feeling so secured, not worried. Suppose my parents are staying somewhere else or children are staying somewhere else. We are always under stress. If something goes wrong, if they need our help, how we can go there and help them out. But if we are all together, I think that was a blessing. I believe it's a blessing for us.
Yeah, but like you mentioned, it only can function if both the generations firstly are open-minded and curious to know about each other and non-judgmental. And we give each other space to grow. So this is one thing that I always talk about, that you will never see even grass growing under a massive tree. Now, we all want our next generation to be bigger and better than us and more successful in life than us. And for that, we need to give them room. We need to give them space. We can't keep on sheltering them or correcting them or micromanaging them. You know, we have to allow them to be themselves.
Yeah.
And only
so it sounds...
when each person gets that space for themselves, that's when you can still live together.
Yeah, it sounds like boundaries are really important in the multi-generational living, that you know, want to be with each other and support each other, but there are definitely times and topics to stay off of that aren't your domain.
Yeah, and you talk a lot in your what you publish online about setting boundaries in your relationship. Tell us a little bit what that means and why it's important.
Well, to me, boundaries are important because we both can have different values and different way we function. And if we cross each other's path all the time, we can actually, you know, irritate each other. We may not know we have those spikes which brush the other person on the wrong side. And it's important for the other person to speak up and say, hey, you're brushing me on the wrong side. And unless we have a safe space and we can be vulnerable, we can't talk about boundaries. So before we can set boundaries, we have to feel safe that we will not be judged. And that requires a lot of connection. Without that, you can't, you know, then if you not build the connection first and you start establishing boundaries right away, you will actually end up building walls.
Yes. Wow. I love that. I love that. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started with the Instagram and sort of what you see your vision to be on Instagram and just out in the world?
So this is a story, and allow me a few minutes. 2021, a difficult year for all of us. And we were lying in the hospital bed, 65% lung damage thanks to COVID. And we were not sure we were going to survive.
Both of you?
We were lying on both of us.
Both of you?
So we were
Same time, both of us.
Oh my goodness.
And we were lying on two beds which were put together in a single room because there were too many patients. So we were all crammed up. And we just kept looking at each other and telling that if we pull through, that means God says there's no place yet for you here because you've not done my work on earth. And we realized that we are complete contrasting characters. He is a person who abides by the rules, you know, absolutely tick mark. And I'm the person who always questions rules and challenges rules and wants to make my own rules. So we are absolutely poles apart, but we've come a long way. We still argue a lot, but we are inseparable as a couple. And that is when we realized that we've been on a journey of overcomings, and it makes sense to share this with people because a lot of families are breaking today. There's a lot of distress, there's a lot of anxiety, separation, broken hearts, you know. And I believe that if a family is strong together, they can pull through all hardships, through everything, you know? And yeah, we have a message to deliver. We've done it all. But we were not sure. We were very apprehensive because we are neither, like we've told you earlier, neither counselors or therapists or psychologists. So we were not sure that we would be accepted. But that is when we attended a seminar by Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi. Yes. And Dean happened to mention that if you've been in a ditch and if you've pulled through outside on the other side, it makes sense to share your journey because that will make sure that what took decades for you will be done in days for the other person. And it's your responsibility to share your journey of overcoming with other people. So that is when we decided to write a book, and we were not sure how we will be accepted or received by the world. So we thought Instagram is a good place to test the waters, and that is why we got on Instagram.
So we are on Instagram for around 14 months only, I believe, right?
Yeah,
around 14
months. Started posting from September.
Well, you guys are amazing, and there's no question in our minds that what you have to say is, you have lived experience, which is, I think, more valuable in a lot of ways than professional experience. So I applaud you. You guys are amazing. The things you say are
really. I mean, I think what I have found is that, I mean, some of your stuff is funny, but a lot of it is uplifting and educational. And listen, we are professionals, but I learn things from looking at your content. I do have to ask you one thing that has nothing to do with you, and maybe it does. I don't know. Tell us about the matching outfits that we do.
Let me handle this. In fact, we understood in any our early days, we are absolutely poles apart, right? So we have nothing in common. She is very adventurous. She is very curious. Mm-hmm. She wants to grow huge in the life. And I was content person. Yeah, this is good enough. Very nice. So there was nothing common. So Anjali found out this way. If we got some twinning done always, at least we will have some sense of unity, some sense of togetherness.
I love it.
Because the only thing what we had in common was our wedding date.
I love
that
it.
That was common.
I love it. So the wedding date and the clothes.
I had read a quote somewhere which said that uniform brings unity. And I said, okay, let's bring in uniformity and hope that there is unity.
So how do you do it, though? The night before, do you look and say, okay, what we're going to wear tomorrow? Or you do it in the morning when you get up? I mean, is there a plan for the week? How does that all work out?
So it works like this. Firstly, we've not changed our size in over 2.5 decades. So we can still wear the outfit like one I'm wearing and he's wearing it. Both are more than a decade old, right? So we have a huge wardrobe because we don't need to discard anything. And the second is, this is how we function. If I take out my outfit first, then he has to match up. And if he does it first, I have to match up. So
okay.
I love it. Maybe we'll start. Yeah,
yeah, and that's really fortunate enough that she keeps on buying clothes for me.
I love that.
You both look terrific.
You do.
And we do publish this on YouTube so people can see the color coordination. If folks are just listening in their cars or wherever, trust us when we tell you they match and they look terrific.
Yes, they do. They're adorable. And we are going to be able to drown out some of the sounds. But if you guys heard some sounds, it is their New Year's and there's fireworks going on in the background. And I just wanted to mention that in case you do hear anything.
And we really, I mean, I feel like we could talk for hours about different things. But I want to thank you both for coming on. I know it's the evening where you are and you took time out of your togetherness time. And we really, really appreciate it. We look forward to continuing to stay connected and watching you guys And we will put in our show notes your Instagram handle. Is there anything else that you want folks to know in terms of if they wanted to reach out to you, or you mentioned a book that is out or is coming? Anything else you want us to?
It's still in the making.
In the making.
Okay.
All right. Well, you go for it. I can't wait to read your book.
All right. So,
thank
folks
you so
out there.
Much.
We will. You'll look in the show notes. Be sure to follow these people. They are just awesome. Anyone who's in a relationship or wants to be in a relationship can learn from these two people. And as always, you can find us at www.thebullets.com. We're at The Bullets on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Pinterest.
I always get surprises, man. I got to look
everywhere.
At that Pinterest thing. LinkedIn and everywhere else.
And YouTube.
And YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullet is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullet is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.